Hi, good morning everyone. Shall I pray before I start? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that you allow me to come and share the ministry that you involve me, Lord. And especially, Lord, when I'm sharing, I completely acknowledge that everything, every word that I say will bring glory to your name. Thank you once again, Lord, the people, those who are present here and listening. Lord, I just commit everyone to your hand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, my name is Robert Kumar and I'm from India. And I work with the organization called Emmanuel Hospital Association. And we have 20 hospitals which start with 35-bed to 250-bedded. And we have 7 nursing schools and 50 community health program in North India, Central India, and Northeast India. So it's one of the biggest mission hospital in India. But what I'm going to share, I'm not a conference speaker. I'm just sharing my own journey as a father of son of disability. So my son was born with cerebral palsy, and that is what I'm going to share, that how God led me to this ministry, and that's why the topic is choose like pain and suffering is enable you to minister. So this is the picture that you are seeing is one of the Holy River, which is start from very close, because I'm very close to Himalayan region, and this river start from there, and this is one of the Holy River that in India most of the Hindu people believe in India. And this is the map, and you see all this white thing. This is where the EHA hospital, the hospital that I'm talking, are located. And all the community health program is around that place. And our hospital in this, you can see on the arrow, this is our hospital. This is a new building. It was a very old hospital, and this is a new building. And it's known as a Harbhatpur Christian Hospital. And this is where the front desk, and we help people. And this is OPD, one of the OPD. We get around 600 patients every day. And this is where our whole team is working. This hospital was started in 1936 by Dr. Jeffrey Lemon. He came as an engineer to our country with the British soldiers. And then during the time, he realized that, oh, India has so much health problem. As an engineer, I cannot help. So he went back to UK and he did his medicine. He became an ophthalmologist because he saw that time only eye patient. He thought there are a lot of eye disease. So he went and he became an ophthalmologist. He came back India after 6 years and he started a small eye clinic. And then he realized there are many health problems, and slowly it became a general hospital. So you can see that when he started, how the people were transported. And there was an old green building, you can see. And this is where people were waiting to see the doctor. And currently, now we have a big team. He was the single doctor who came in 1936. But now we have 23 Indian doctors who are managing the hospital, and we see around 120,000 people every year. And one of the gap which we see that there's a lot of delivery happen in our hospital, but we have there was a pediatrician who said that there is a big gap. We see a lot of people with children born with disability, and there is no services. So this is which we saw a gap, but I was not aware. Because when my son was born in this hospital, there was no pediatrician. So this is the story start from here. You see that my son, he's now 24-year-old. And when he born, doctor said that he may not going to survive because his vitals are not good. And that night, my wife had a cesarean section, and those days, the cesarean section was kept for 3 days, separate room. And so she was separate, and doctor was giving me all the information that they didn't say that he has a disability, but they said that he may not go into makeup. and he's not going to survive. So I was troubled. I was sitting in the ward, and I thought, I was thinking in my mind that I may go and bury him tomorrow. And I was crying. I was just looking to him. But suddenly my eyes turned, and I was looking to the nursing counter where all the nurses do their filing and all those things. So there was a very old calendar was still hanging there, and which had the words 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And for one moment, I thought, what grace God is talking about? And it's not going to help me. So my son, maybe he will not survive tomorrow. So I started looking through that verse, and suddenly I saw the grace word is becoming big and big and big for me. And I felt a lot of peace in my heart. I don't know how that peace came, but I automatically feel a lot of peace. I stopped crying. And I was thinking, I opened the Bible, I started reading this verse again and again, that my grace is sufficient for thee. The grace word in Hindi is anugrah. That's why I wrote in the side, is the Hindi meaning of grace. And so morning, I told my wife my experience in the night, and still I don't know whether he's going to make up or not. So I told my wife, she was still in the bed, she still had a long switchers, and I shared this experience, and she said, oh, you know, I thought that I will give this boy a name, Joy, but now you're telling me this experience, so I want to give him a name, Anugrah. And I said, we don't know whether he's going to make up or not. She said, whatever, if he's going to make up, if we bury him, we will bury him with the name Anugrah. If he will alive, we will give him name Anugrah. So that's why the name gave. Before that, I have never seen any boy who had a name Anugrah. After that, I have seen there are many boys that had a name Anugrah. But that time, I thought it's only a girl's name. But I said, it's whatever, we want to give him a name Anugrah. So this is what the beginning, but it was painful. It was very painful because when I said that pain as an enabler to serve, not to serve. So it was not easy because my wife, when we came to know, we only realized that he has a cerebral palsy nearly when he became 2 years old. And because there was no pediatrician, no service available around that area, and our organization never worked on disability. So several issues. But what happened during this time, somebody told to my wife, we live in the campus. The campus is all the Christian people. And around nearly 80 families. And somebody told to my wife, we don't know what God is want to teach you. I don't know what sin you have done. And, you know, it was a terrible time for my wife. She never told me, but I saw her. Whenever I come back from the duty, I saw her crying in the corner, and I didn't realize what happening to her, why she is crying always. So one day she shared with me that somebody told, and that she's questioning herself, is she the only sinner in this campus? So when she shared with me, I also said, see, we have a daughter and she's fine. So do you think we were holy people before that? And then I also shared about the story from the Bible, and many of the friends helped us, and she came up out from this. And then I was thinking, I was going 60 kilometers away to get some services for my son, and it was not easy. It was not easy because Indian transport is not accessible for people with disability, and to carry a child with disability 60 kilometers in a public transport was not easy for me. So I'm looking after the community health program of entire EHA, and I was there, but I never saw the disability. It was invisible for me. But when this child born in my family, I started looking a lot of disability. I thought, why? Before that, I was not able to see. I used to go to the village. I used to meet people, but I never saw the disability. Now, the lot of people with disability, I can see. And I think this is what God is trying to open my eyes. I think the one of the pediatrician, he worked in this hospital, he mentioned to me, you know, I'm always praying that this hospital should start a disability ministry, but I never had a courage to do. I never know how God will do. So then I thought, okay, maybe God has his own way, that he put me into the situation so that he will open my eye so that I can see. So I started looking and I started talking to the parents around that area, that what is happening, what do you think is a solution, what we can do together. But they were all looking to me. They thought, okay, till now our children was at home, we were not involved in anything. Now you are telling that there is a possibility we can do something. You tell us what to do. I said, I don't know, because I was running immunization program, I'm running RCH program, I'm running literacy program, self-help group, but never disability. So I think the God helped me, the pain and the suffering helped me to see the greater problem. It's not only me. So I realized that it's not only me, there are many children. So I was able to see many children. And then I realized that there is no service available. For me, I have to go 60 kilometers, but all the parents, very poor, how they will travel 60 kilometers to get the services. So it's impossible for them. So I saw that a lot of mothers, it's not only disability, but, you know, they're going through the stigma, that stigma attached to disability. And in the society in India, I thought it's only Hindu society who are going, who believe in karma and believe in this, that whatever happened to your child is all because your past sin. But then I realized even in Christians that we have a lot of stigma related to the disability. And so all kind of things that I able to discover and able to see that we are not able to provide solution for everything. And, you know, then I realized that most of the mother at home, because for child with disability, everything is expensive, but they have to take a care and the mother has to stay at home. Father will go and he will work. He will has a ventilation, but for mother, there is no ventilation. She will stay at home. She will always see this child. She will never go out. And, you know, the stigma is so high that sometimes they keep the child inside for a very long time. Even I have seen the child after 8 years, they are coming out. 7 years, they are coming out. So they always keep inside. So that's what's, and a lot of hopelessness. They said, I can't do anything. There is enough. And then government of India, we don't have enough resources. So the government has kept a definition of disability very narrow so that the number is very less. No, so number is very high. The percentage is very less. So what we say that the people with disability in India is, according to the government definition, is 5 to 6%. But the definition they have kept low. When I see that definition in America, and the percentage is around 10 to 12% in Australia, same. And these are all country has already provided so much services. And there are many reasons to have more disabled people in our country. So why our definition? But then it's okay, because I know the government has a very limited resources. If the percentage will go 10 to 12, they have really need to allocate a very high amount to provide these services. So I understand why the definition is very low. So this was the problem that I saw, and it's only help because I went through this problem and I was able to see how the people are going through. As I said, there was no disability program, though our organization was very old. Some of the hospitals are 100-year-old, but none of the hospital, none of the community health program had a disability program. So I don't know what to do, from where to start. So I think that when you go through, that God also help you to see what are the different possibility around you. So when you go through the pain, when you go through the suffering, God is also open that, okay, you don't have always the full resource. So we started visiting, you see in one of the picture that occupational therapist, very highly qualified person, we got a very committed person. He came and he was willing to go village to village to work with the children, because we didn't have any center, we didn't have any place, we don't have any transport to bring. So we thought, okay, we'll go house to house, and whatever they have, we will try. So like if you see in this picture, a child who need a caliper, who can walk with the caliper, but we don't know from where to get. So we had a splint, we put the splint, we gave him a small walker. We were trying what our best that we could do. And most of the children was without meaning, they were not involved in household things. So we were trying to encourage mothers, no, allow her to make a chapati. She may not be able to make as round as you do, but whatever she can make, allow her. And then like whatever small things what we got as a second hand, we were started giving to some of the children. So whatever you see in this all the orthoses and the caliper was second hand. We modified and we gave to them. So this was our beginning, that God helped, that okay, we cannot just sit quietly, whatever resources have that we can do. And slowly the program started growing, and then now the program has, we have a learning center in the community. Initially, we started the whole thing in one room, and we realized that everyone wants to bring their child into that room, and it's become very crowded. It was of this size, and then you know, if you have 80 children with disability and the same number of people going to help, it's not going to do anything. So we thought, no, this is not what we want. We want the community should engage, the community should see, the community should start speaking about that. So we said, we will go back to the community. We will start a small center in the community. So that's why we gave name Community Learning Center. And so it's run 5 days a week, where we do a lot of medical support, and we provide therapy and the special education. Then we realized there are many children who cannot come to the center at all. There is no wheelchair. There is no transport. So what we did, we said we'd like to go to the home again. So we run the center half day, and half day the team will go and work with the parents and the child at home and give the same services what we were giving into the learning center. So but we realized that most of the people with disability, the parents also believe that this child cannot do anything. So the livelihood program is very important. And we realized that have you seen Indian toilet? It's not a Western seat. It's an Indian toilet as a whole, and you just sit on there. And it's impossible for a child with disability. If somebody who is in the wheelchair or in the crutches, it's impossible. So we started modifying their houses, small ways. Some people still like Indian toilet. So we made some kind of a modification that they can still use that, and some of the kitchen that we modified. Very, very simple way, so that there will be a little, because I was always seeing my own child that I have a good toilet where my son can go and it's easy for me. And the same way I was looking that there are many parents so difficult to take them to the toilet. And so then some technical services, I realized that, you know, you saw in the first slide that there's no orthosis, there is no caliper, there's a lot of big requirement, and we see a lot of children can be helped. So we thought, we started asking all the old orthoses and try to modify. But then God also helped us to start one of the orthotic workshop. And I always wanted my son to have a furniture which he is comfortable. But I went to the carpenter, I spoke to them, they always made a very fancy, nice, but not comfortable for my son. So then we end up started a little workshop which has a special chair for cerebral palsy children, and it become very popular. I'll show you after some time. Then a lot of wheelchair modification and a lot of community engagement, because, you know, as a project, we were doing a lot of awareness program in the school, in the community, but this was very limited, very small. But we thought it will be nice to engage people with disability. So we formed, the DPO is Disabled People's Organization. So we formed a lot of people, those who are disabled, together and equipped them with some training. And they said, okay, these are the rights that government are giving you. You just claim. Because, you know, in India, there is a policy, there is a lot of rules and regulations, but people don't know how to access. So we started helping people and training this group so that they will go to the government and ask for their rights. And then a lot of school awareness program, because when we were putting children to the school, just after a month, they will come back and they say, no, this school is not right for us, because the children don't know how to behave with the children with disability. The teacher have no idea. So we started a lot of awareness program in the school. And then, yes, a lot of community opinion because of the stigma. So we need to engage a lot of leaders in the community so that they will discuss about the disability. So these are some of the picture in the learning center, that how occupational therapist is working with the child and the physiotherapist is working with the child. And we used to get children only when they are 8 or 10. And that time I realized that they always lose the interest. The mother thought, oh, it's not making any change, it's not happening anything. So we started talking, and we got one child in a very early age, and we saw so much change in him and his parents. So we thought, okay, I think the early intervention program is very important. And so we found some of the people from the community. We trained them to how to identify. We went to all the delivery centers. We taught them, okay, if you have any problem, please send to us. So we realized now we get a lot of children with under 3 years of age, and that makes a lot of difference. So you see, this are all the mothers coming. So now you see, you don't see any father. Only mothers come with the children. Fathers are very hardly engaged in the disability. So, but anyway, for us, it's a wonderful thing. And we also encourage mother, don't work only with your child. Work with some other child. So then you will try to understand, because otherwise you are too much caught up with your own child. When you see some other child, one of the mother in this group said, I will leave my food, but so much energy I come and get when I come here, I get, because when I see other parents, how they are engaged with their children, it gives me a lot of motivation. And so this is one of the program that we are doing, and we are helping nearly 150 children with below 3 years. And we have 6 centers where this children comes, and we are working with these mothers. Then special education is one of the area, and you know, our system is not, our education system is not very much inclusive. So any school you go, they don't have anything for the special kids. So what we do, we try to do some special education, but we also working with the school. We sending our therapist, we are sending our special educator to talk to the teacher, talk to the parents and to the children, so that when we send to the child to the mainstreaming school, he will be well accepted, he will be welcomed. So the challenges are still there. Some school have no ramp, so how a child with disability with wheelchair will access this facility. As I said, that we started a orthotic and prosthesis unit, and we help nearly 500 children every year, and very, very small children come to our orthotic workshop, and we provide them orthotic, caliper, or whatever is required. So, this is a big blessing. I have seen a lot of change. This few years ago, this young man came to me, and he has leg amputated by, sorry, my English is not very good. So you forgive me if you don't understand, please ask me. So his leg was amputated, and he lost all the hope. He had an accident and he lost all the hope. His name is Sarvan Kumar. And so we made a leg. So this leg is, you can see like this, but we gave him a skin also after that. So just before coming here, I wanted to check with him how he's doing. So he sent me a video. He's working in one of the factory. And if you see this, oh, sorry. Sound is now, yeah, he is working, he can dance, and so I was so much encouraged to see that the transformation that he had. And as I said, that we wanted our children to be engaged purposefully, not just put them somewhere. So like we were asking parents to allow them. So like this child could do the dishwashing at their own home. So allow him. And we also teach our children for agriculture and plantation, watering, gardening, but also giving a goats, raising a goat. Some of the children with intellectual disability, this is the best therapy for them. And so I'll tell you the story of one of the, it's not here, I'll come back to that story about this child. So we do a lot of mainstreaming. So like I said, this is one of the Christian school we went and we said, oh, you know, we are finding so difficult to put our children into the school. And they opened, they said, oh, we will make a ramp, we will make a accessible toilet. Because a lot of children, they don't go to the school because there is no toilet. If they want to go to school and if they have any emergency, they have to go back to home. And this disabled child, how can he go back and come back to the school? So they opened a facility where they have renovated their toilet. And this child, you can see this child has no hand. And all the class is surprised that he can write from his leg. And here in this conference, I met one of the people, those who make orthosis, and they make hand. And now I got a contact, and now I think we'll get something for him, and he'll be able to write with hands also, and many other children can do. So, but we bring a lot of children to the school. It takes a lot of energy because, you know, we have to send occupational therapists to see how the school environment, how the teacher, how the students behave. And but this school is so good that sometime when they have a class on the first floor, they have shifted the entire class to the ground floor so that the child with disability could complete his study. So this is one of the child. He was so good and he got a medal also in the school. And the story that I was telling you, this is the boy. He had an intellectual disability and he was sitting always in the village square. In India, there are always a center place in the village where normally people come and sit in the evening. And most of the time, a lot of people sit. This is maybe a tree or maybe a square. So he was always sitting there and a lot of people abuse him with the bad language. And they beat him. He is also throwing a stone to them. And he also abused to them whatever language he had. So one day when we realize, we ask him, would you like to do some goat raising? So we gave him two goats. And he was so happy because nobody gave him anything earlier. So he was so happy. He took this two goat. He took them to the jungle. Now you see the so many goats. Okay. He is not present in the square. He's not there, so people are not seeing him. And he's now quiet. He's going, he's so happy. He gave the name to the goats. And he was so much involved. And now his father is standing. Other one is our staff. The middle one is the father. And father initially said, oh, I'm fed up with this child. Because the whole community was telling very negative thing about him. But now he's so proud. Because he sells one goat between 15,000 to 20,000 rupees. And he can sell like 10 to 15 in a year. So this gave me a motivation that after my retirement, I will surely start a goatry, goat farming. So this is what we, this is one example. So we give to many people and we give this as a therapy for them. I see this is a wonderful therapy for this boy that he came out from this situation and able to support his family. As I told you about the Disabled People's Organization, this is one of the group and we are training DPO, Disabled People's Organization. So we are training, we are equipping them so that they will fight for the rights of the children, people with disability. And, you know, we found this as a very good ground. Most of our children, we are working with nearly 600 to 700 children and family. And many of them are Muslim, Christian and Hindu. And when they come here, There is no barrier, no caste system. They eat with each other, they celebrate with each other, they go to the each other festival, they go to the marriages. So I have seen that the disability brought them together. It's not separating them together. And I see a lot of transformation among themselves, that they are not criticizing at each other religion, but they are living in harmony. So this is a very good example that I have seen. As I said, that it's not easy to put our children to the school. So we conduct annual sports to big schools in the area so that the children get sensitized. Children know what is happening. They do a lot of volunteering that 2-3 days when we do the annual sports. So that it's very good for children. And many children, they still remember when they came as a volunteer and help our children. And we also send, though our children are not great, but they love stage, they love performance. So we send them, if there is any performance happening, so we send them. This is a very special. Most of our center are very next to the government school. So we have a center and then very close to the, we purposefully do next to the government center. So when they have a break, we invite them to come to our center and play with our children, make them friends. So we'll take 9 and 10 class and we take them through this journey for 2 years. And we think that they will become a champion in their village, in the community about disability. And I was so moved one day, a young boy came with $7 check, 500 rupees, $7 check. And he said, he gave to me. I said, oh, who are you? From where do you got this money? Why you are giving this money to me? He said, you know, I was one of the child in your special friends club. We call it special friends club. So I was there for 2 years and I learned so much. And I went, he did something. I don't know what he did. I can't remember. But he said, I did to raise this money. So I was only able to raise 500, but I want to give you. And I was so much moved that this boy... Few years ago, he was in this, and now he still remember, and he's bringing a small support, so which I was very much moved. This is the chair that we make. We call it CP chair. The children, those who are not able to sit with their own support, so they go to the school with this chair. They can sit at home. It's easy for mother to feed with this chair. They can do some activities. And, you know, the best part, the government of Uttarakhand, the state government, they bought so many chairs from us. So it's become a little income generation from us also, for us. And it's also very helpful for the families. And we are supplying this chair to many places. And in India right now, I have not seen anybody who's doing a special chair for children with disability. So this is what we are not doing as a business yet, because we according to India, we are only a charitable organization. We cannot do a business. So we just only do to provide this chair as a one of the equipment, as a device. So that is what we are doing right now. We do lot of wheelchair modification. We have a partnership. I don't know how many people know Johnny and Friends in US. So Johnny and Friends, we have a partnership and we made an agreement that we will distribute 10,000 wheelchair in 5 years. But unfortunately, we are able to do only 300 chair in a year because shipping is so difficult and the custom and all those is not very easy. So, but what happened, some of our team and therapist went to a WHO training. They learned how to modify the wheelchair. And so now we are equipped. So whenever the wheelchair come, we don't need a team from US to come all the way to modify. So we have a team, we can modify, and we give the. So we distribute every year 300 modified wheelchair, but we also buy locally. Local wheelchairs, not good quality, and hardly for children. It's only for adult, one size, very big size. And a lot of our children has medical problem, and this is one of the picture I put because a lot of our children had a eye problem. We cannot go to, we cannot bring them to the ophthalmologist and ask all screening and all. I know my son, he also afraid to go to the eye because he has to put his neck into the machine where he has to see. So he said, no, I don't want to go. But this is a man came from Australia. He brought a machine, and now he's doing a checkup, and we are getting number, and we were able to give many children a number and the specs, and they're able to see after that. Okay. So the pain and suffering is also unable you to pass on to your passion. Because if you are not able to pass on your passion, maybe whatever time you have energy, you will do, and after that the program will die. So we always had an idea that one day we will become a resource center, learning a center where people will come and learn. And now that Government of India has acknowledged our program, and they started a training program which is given to only 8 organizations in India, and we are one of them. So a lot of people coming to us for this training. So this training is like, if anybody who has a special educator designation in the school, they need to register with us and get this training. And but we are inviting a lot of church and the Christian organization to come and have this training. Because my organization itself is very big, and the disability program after this has started in 10 different locations. So we get a lot of staff to come and get training and registered by the, and it's fully funded by the central government of India. Then the other course that we run is Beyond Suffering. And this is again from Joni and Friends. And this is a 1-year training, and we do for a lot of for our organization leader, but also lot of church leader in our area. And because we work with local churches in that area, all the denomination, including Catholic, including Protestant, and all the, we have lot of house churches, small churches. So we work with them, we bring them into the network, and we are working with them. So a lot of good work has started, because anybody who wants to know about Christ, we are not doing directly. We refer them to this church. We see if you are close to this church, there is a pastor who can help you. So we refer. So a lot of pastors are having a very, very good relationship with us. So because we refer them. So the other way we pass our passion is, this is the family. She had a girl child with disability, and he's a pastor. And he wanted to start this program, but he never had a resources, but he had a heart. So what happened? We got some funding from Indian businessman, and we thought, okay, we would like you to start this program. And he started this program in the church. Now he has a, this is in the different state, and our team get little time to go there, but it's very nice that they are able to replicate the same model and work for children with disability in that area. The other program is that, you know, the ultimate purpose for us is to bring in kingdom. And what we are doing because we want to manifest Jesus in word and deed. So you can talk a lot about Christ, but if you are not available when they are in need, then what is the point? So many church we say, okay, if Jesus come today and ask somebody in the community that, where is the people who show some love or who are available in your suffering, will the community will able to guide you to your church, to your place? So this is the way that we motivate a lot of church, that, you know, build a good relationship. The community should know what you are doing. So a lot of good relationship we have, but we also do a special program that we call family retreat. So many family who are seeker, who wants to know about Christ, we call them once in a year for 3 days. We raise a lot of volunteer from the church, and they stay with us 3 days. We do a lot of activities with them, but a lot of sharing. They come and share with each other their life, their journey, but a lot of Bible study. And yeah, and a lot of fun together. And this is a very special what happened when my son was growing, and a lot of people from the church was coming to my home and inviting my daughter. She was elder, and she was invited for the youth group. She was invited for the Sunday school. But nobody invited my son. And I was very pain. It was so much pain that my son cannot go any church activities. Does he has the same need of God as my daughter? And this question started burning me. And then when I took him to the church, there was no ramp. I have to lift him. My wife and together we have to lift him. And yeah, definitely the some of the church member also helped. But he can go up to a certain point because there was a nice carpet. And I don't want to make it dirty. So he has to sit always where the, all the shoes are removed. You can see the smell. You can understand the smell of the shoes in that area. But he is so much involved in praise and worship. He likes to do the praise and worship. He likes to say the prayer point. But he can stay too far away. So I shared my thing to the church. When the church was growing and they did a renovation, the first thing they did, they made a ramp. They made a ramp not only in the front door, but they made a ramp in the pulpit so that if any person with disability wants to minister, could go to the church. So that was the effect, and it gave me a lot of confidence. And so what happened then, we said, okay, shall we start something which called Christian response to disability. So then we thought, why with just one or two church? Why not it's just be called as a big group? So in EHA, we get together, we call some other organization. And in 2014, we started Engage Disability, a one conference where 500 people came with disability, without disability, pastors. And that made a lot of impact. And today we have, it's a national movement. We have 12 hubs in different state. And many churches, all different church you name in India, they are part of Engage Disability. And it's not anymore that we are organizing. We did the first conference. Now it's taken over by National Church Council of India. And they are planning to include the disability theology into the curriculum for the theologians. And so many family. I can't imagine that how many family. Every year when I go, every 3 years we arrange a conference, a national-wide conference, and so many people comes. And I was, last time it was in Hyderabad, and I went there and I met a pastor who cannot speak and who cannot hear. And he said he was from the Hindu family, and he told me, you know, my disability brought me to the Lord. So I'm very happy that I am a disabled person. And he learned the sign language, and he run a church in an open ground where a lot of other fundamentalist, other faith people are there. But they are very quietly, they do their worship, nobody understands what they are doing. And 200 people come to his church every day. He doesn't need a building, he just go into the open ground and they do. So this is what he shared, and I was so much impressed that a small intervention can lead to such a big change. So this is my son. He opened the first conference because it is begin from here, but it became a national movement now. This is one of the story that there is a home run by the government. It's called Nari Niketan. Nari means women, and Niketan means is a place where all the women are kept. These are all the women who have a mental illness or some other problem. They were kept by the government, or government was managing. This place, suddenly 5 deaths happened. And then a lot of inquiry and a lot of media reporting started happening. And this matter went into the assembly, in the politician where they sit and discuss. So one of the politicians said, why government is running such program? We don't have any passion. We don't know how to do. We have only money. So why don't you find some missionary to do this program? And the word missionary was the first time for our chief minister. So he told the health secretary, go and find the missionary. So one of the MLA was born in our hospital and he knew our program. So he said, I know the missionary. So he guided her to us. So the chief secretary called me and she told me, okay, this is what we have. But you know, everything is fine. Only this is, the media is making a noise. So she took me to this place. I went to this place. There is a very cramped place, 100 and 40 women are there. And she showed me all the beds are very nice. And she was giving me a good round. And suddenly, I don't know what happened to me. I just removed one of the bed sheet. And when I removed the bed sheet, there was a maggot in that bed. And I said, anybody can die here. What do you think? Because, and then we realized that, you know, all the staff, they lock the toilet because in the night they think, okay, who will clean and who will do. So they urinate in the bed, and then all the maggots are there. And just for the day, because secretary is coming, they put a new bed sheet. She started crying. She told me, do something. I said, sorry, I have never run this facilities. I cannot do this. And she said, oh, then you are not a missionary. I said, no, it's not that. But, you know, I have never run this. So I went back to my hospital and I said, see, this is what the story. And I think EHA mission statement said that, you know, we exist for poor and marginalized. And if we say that our statement, mission statement, should not we take this facility and run? So the whole board agreed, and then we took this facilities, we changed this facilities. Today, there is no death happened till now. From last 7 years, we are managing. But then we realized that some people came at a very young age and there is no outlet. They always stay here. And when I went there, I saw a tall, long lady wearing a very long pajama, which is small lady wearing very tall pajama. Half of them is going on the floor. And then one tall lady wearing only up to here. I said, why is this? They said they wash together and they just pick one, whatever comes to your hand you wear. So then I said, what about the brushing? They said, no, nobody brush. So I brought the brush, 140 brush, and I gave to everyone. And next day when we went, they put everything in one bucket. And now we don't know which belongs to whom. So it was, and most of them are because they're taking medicine, and it was not easy for them. So it took long time to bring changes. And now the government is not the same government who invited us. It's another government which is more, which is a Hindu fundamentalist government. And they also want us to run this facility. So we are still running. So what happened? We identified this. Should be some outlet. So we took 8 women out from this home and put them into the village. So they will manage their life. They will, and a lot of change happened. You see, these women, this is their one of the house. They celebrate. When we first time took, the community was so angry with us. Why you are bringing mental people in our community? We will not allow this. But now the same community becomes so good friend. They allow them to their home. They allow them to the festival. They invite them in the marriages. And it's totally turned up. And now they participate in the sports. And this is the lady you see sitting in the middle with the red thing here. She is a women and child welfare minister. She came one day to see how this facility is running. And she was so impressed. Now she's telling government that we should start. We should start more. We should not do the institution. We should start. So this become a model for the state. So hopefully in future they will not do any more institution, but allow them to stay in a different place. This is one of the story which I want to go a little fast. This boy, you see, I don't had a picture. I took it from the magazine because 13 years ago I took this picture. And this boy, we found him during our field visit. We found him lying on the bed, not doing anything. So we gave him a wheelchair. We gave him a toilet chair. And then we realized that this boy can do a lot of things. So we put him to the school. You see, he was sitting in the wheelchair in the school. He graduated. He did 12th class from there. Then he started doing a stage show. He can sing and he can dance with the wheelchair. So one day he told me he wants to even ride the scooter. And then I thought, okay, how he will die? Because because Indian roads are not safe and we don't have a scooter. But we got a connection with IIT Chennai. IIT is a technical institute in Chennai. And they gave us this scooter. He can fit this with his wheelchair. You must be knowing this. So Now he can travel up to 10 to 15 kilometer. This is a battery operated, and this is what he travels now. And then we wanted to know what he will do in life. So he said he's good in technology, he's good in computer. So we help him to get a computer, and then now he has a shop where he make a document for people with disability. Like if a person with disability need a government pension, he need to have a documentation. And if he need anything from the government, they need a documentation. So he helped them to get a documentation, and he charge 20 rupees to 40 rupees is less than a half cent he charged. But then he earned like 300 to 400 rupees per day, and he managed his life. Now he's looking if he can find a girl for marriage. And he's a Muslim boy. His name is Saruk, and he loved to come to our church. Whenever he come on Sunday, he wants to be in the worship. He comes, he tell his prayer request. He believe, they also believe in Jesus. So he put his prayer request very honestly. And yeah, so I believe one day he will get a girl to marry. So this is the 20 years journey that I have shared. Now this program become a model and replicated in 10 different locations. And I'm glad Joy is here. She is going to one of the program which has this disability program in the same state. She's a nurse. So we every year we help around 500 families. And this is in the 10 location, as I said. And, you know, we thought, okay, our city is the capital of this state, and it's important to bring all the disability organization together. So we organize a forum, and now it's going well. So we now fighting if anything new facility come, they should have accessibility. There should be accessibility about that. And yeah, so I already spoke about Engage Disability. It's become a very big network. And this is our learning that, you know, in giving, you receive much more. And I learned that all the team that I work, I am not an expert. I am not a therapist. I am just a father. But I have seen that anyone who has worked with us, they were so much blessed. They always told me that, you know, it was so much enriched their life working with children with disability. And helping parents, like I said, that one father has started a center in his own church. So that is also like they become a champion, and they're going and we equipping a church. So any wheelchair distribution, we are not doing by ourselves. We invite church. You go and identify a person with disability. You give the chair. And then you will find a way to interact with them, and then you can invite them to the church. And so many pastors said that they got so good access into the community while they were doing this. This is 20 years, and this is one of the training center that we have, learning center we have. And yeah, this is the transport that we use. This is in the same village. A father was carrying his 5 children in a motorbike. And so I have a 2-minute clip. I still have 7 minutes. So I will show you this clip. Anugrah is my son, and the story started when he was born with the cerebral palsy. And my wife and myself, we were struggling. So we realized that we have to do something to provide the services, which will include my son's service, but also for many other children with disability in this area.
The whole program is about relationships. Relationships with the staff, among all of us, or with the families that we have the privilege of being with.
And I think being in a place like this and working amongst people who are usually left out and enabling to and be playing a role in bridging that gap between people who are left behind helps me know people, and as well as in turn helps me know more of God. That adds a lot of purpose in what I do.
It's changed the way I look at life. It's been transformative So we often hope that what we do is transformational, but it's been transformative.
The kids are waiting for me, okay, whenever I come, they'll ask, okay, is it our therapy time? Shall I come with you? If I see them moving around with a joy independently, this is a real reward for me.
How does one define human value? Is it by what I can do, or how fast I am, how talented I am, how much of an idol I am? So Anugraha almost challenges that, challenges the speed at which the world is moving to say, perhaps not, perhaps that's not the answer.
Yes, thank you. This is the end of the presentation. If you have question or any queries, I'm here to answer.
Can you tell us a little more about the churches that you work with, the outreach?
Okay. So in the EHA, because we are not in one denomination, so our we always had a dream that we will work with all the churches, including Catholic, around us. So because we have more house churches. Do you understand house churches? Yeah. So like one house have 10, 15 family gathering. So because we don't have so many buildings and big places, so a lot of house churches are very famous there, and a lot of people go to the house churches. So we bring all them, everyone, to one platform, and our role is to only challenge. It's not funding no project. It's just that, okay, we are partners. If you need a training, we can help you. If you need some services, we can provide you. But you see what the dream that you have for your community, how you will help, and how you will witness the Christ in this community by available to your service. So like the location that I am, we have 54 churches, and they meet every month. They pray for each other. They're all different denominations. The moment you talk about, they will all kill each other because they're all different denominations. They only think, okay, you are talking your doctrine. But we are very neutral, so they don't afraid of us. So when we bring them together, they're open, they talk, they pray for each other. So I think that's it's happened in several locations that we are working. Yes, please.
So you mentioned the Hindu fundamentalist government that's present, and I'm aware that it's becoming more common in the rest of India. I was just wondering how you communicate and operate your mission in a way that it seems like you're not just accepted, but they want you to continue your mission, knowing that it's a Christian mission.
Yeah, I think many places, like if they found anything, even if you like give a Bible or anything, they will put you into the jail because they're thinking you are doing a conversion. But it's not illegal, because our constitution allow us to give our religious book to everyone. But the problem is they make their own definitions. What we do, we try to build a very good relationship with the community, and they know that we are not doing any conversion. But if anybody would like to hear the gospel, we are open. I am working in this organization because I accepted Christ, and that's why by profession I was a pharmacist. I left my profession, I was working here because I see that the God has a greater purpose that I can fulfill through here. I can just tell you the quick story. We went in our hospital. We saw a lot of tuberculosis patients were coming. So we went to the area, the Muslim area. A lot of tuberculosis was there. So I was visiting 3 days, just checking how the community and what the women are doing and all. Somebody was watching us. And third day they called me and one of my friend, and they took us to a very dark room. And then I thought, okay, they are going to beat us today. So there I saw 7 men with the long beard, Muslim Maulvis, the sitting, and they gave us a chair, and they said, okay, sit down and tell us why you are here. And I was telling, okay, we have a hospital with this So they were asking again and again, why? I said, I responded, but they said, no, no, no. I still want to hear why you are here. So that I said, okay, maybe you want to listen that I'm here to convert. He said that now you came to the point. I said, no, we are not here to convert. But definitely what we do in the name of Jesus. Do you have an objection? He said, no. And then he said, you know, the Christian people, you have a way of doing that people get attracted to you. So then I said, is this my problem? He said, no. So then I said, can you give me in writing that we can access in this community? They gave us immediately in writing. So there's a community support. But yes, one of our hospitals is shut down because they have put a blame that we are doing a conversion. Okay. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for your presence. Yeah. I have put some card. If you want to contact me, there is some cards here on the table. You can.